Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
What of the role of the journalist in the current crisis in the Middle East? Margaret Gray joins us from her office in Santa Monica. She is a nationally syndicated columnist, writes the column A Little Bird Told Me that is syndicated to some 150 newspapers across the country. And Margaret, this story in the Middle East obviously encompasses so much, especially reporters. And I've heard it said that, you know, for some reporters, they're torn between a good story and the danger that lurks there.
Well, I'd love to dig into this story, Phil. This is a story that reporters dream about. I've got to tell you that I am absolutely enamored of this story. It's a career maker to go to the Middle East to interview the principals, whether they be Israeli or Palestinian, would be exciting, but I'm also a loyal American. And I say that, Phil, not to say that I can't be an objective reporter, but as a woman, and I know the women in your audience will know what it is I'm talking about, the Middle East is a place that has always held a great deal of romantic interest for American women. Arab men, and I'm sure even American men know this, Arab men are interesting to us, they are sexy, they are exciting. It's a part of the world where you can really lose yourself, and I would hate to go down there as a reporter and wind up compromising my country because, quite frankly, I fell in love. And I couldn't help myself but become enraptured by the place. Yes, it's violent. Yes, there are a great many terrible things that are happening in the Middle East right now. But during peaceful times, it's a terribly exciting place. And I'll even tell you this much. As odious as he is, and as difficult as this will be for many of your listeners to understand, I think the women will know what I'm talking about. Yasser Arafat is a terribly exciting man. He is terribly attractive, I think, to a great many women because for the very...
Yasser Arafat?
Yes.
Why?
For obvious reasons. The man has a great deal of power. He is in control. Right now, the Israelis have cut him off and have made him a virtual prisoner. There's something terribly exciting about that. A man alone against the world. I, as a responsible reporter, I can't go to the Middle East as much as I would love to, because I am afraid that I would allow my emotions to get the better of me.
Yeah, but you're talking also for all women?
I think, well, what I'm saying is American women and most women find Arab men to be very, very interesting. There's something very interesting about them. They are dark, they are mysterious, they are violent, they are different from American men in that they live in a very violent and dangerous world, and they seem to negotiate in it very well. I find that terribly exciting. Yasser Arafat is an example of that. Now, I know to you, Phil...
Well, the guy looks like a clown to me.
No, I've heard you say that. You have to understand that to women, looks just simply don't play that big of a role in whether we think men are exciting. Yasser Arafat, underneath the exterior, is a man of... He's a man of mystery. I want to know him. I want to get to know him. I think when a woman looks at Yasser Arafat, she wants to know what is motivating a man with such dark and brooding charisma. I'm excited by him.
Okay, so because of your attraction to Arab men and...
Well, look at Turhan Bey. Look at Omar Sharif. Look at Anthony Quinn. Look at all of the Arab actors, Arab-American or otherwise, that we have had. They're all terribly exciting. There's a reason why films about the Middle East are popular. Aladdin, The Mummy, Arabian Nights. And you know that lovely song, how does it go? Arabian Nights. You know how that goes. It's all just terribly, terribly devastating. And I wouldn't be a good American, I don't think, Phil, if as a woman I went to the Middle East and made some show of trying to report on it when you know and I know, Phil, that a woman doesn't belong there because we'll let our emotions get the better of us. And the next thing you know, we have fallen in love and we're compromising our country.
Well, you know that there are other female reporters. By the way, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking with Margaret Gray. You know there's other female reporters down there.
Oh, I do. I know that exactly. And
you know that there is Christiane Amanpour and that there is Barbara Walters, I think, did a report down there.
Well, I know that, Phil, and I don't know what to say about that other than I am very disappointed. I think they're playing with fire. I think they are very, very, very much in jeopardy of doing something or saying something that could put their country in jeopardy. Female reporters in the Middle East are in dire jeopardy, Phil, of forgetting their professionalism and, excuse me for saying this, but just spreading for any man that comes along with a turban or with, you know, with a...
So so a professional like Barbara Walters or Christiane Amanpour or any of these other professional female journalists are in jeopardy of having sex with an Arab man, and therefore what?
I don't know.
I mean, surely they're not going to compromise. The worst thing that could happen was that they would give some bad report.
I don't know. I don't know what Barbara Walters knows. I don't know what Christiane Amanpour knows. God help both of them if they were to fall deeply and madly in love and suddenly just throw care to the wind and tell whoever their lover is everything they know about American operations or Israeli operations in the area.
And you really think that females are in danger of doing that?
Phil, you're not a woman. And American women are glued to the coverage of the Middle East. And you know why? To get a peek at one of those Palestinians, to get a good look at Yasser Arafat. He's devastating. He's just...
What do you mean by devastating?
He's exciting. I want to mother him. I want to love him. I just want to be where he is. I don't know.
Now, you're a happily married woman, right?
Of course I am.
Now, so you're not really saying that you would like to be with Yasser Arafat.
I am saying that if I or any woman gets close to a powerful Arabian man like that, God help us. The thought of him alone in that compound, God. Oh.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. We're talking with Margaret Gray about the professionalism of American female journalists going to the Middle East, trying to cover this story, and at the same time being very attracted to Arab men. Now, she's not just talking about journalists. She's talking about any American woman, any woman. There's that whole thing about Arab men or Arab American men or, you know, Middle Eastern men being really sexual and attractive. She's even going so far as to say, and I didn't know this, and Janice, maybe you can help me with this, that Yasser Arafat is very attractive to women. Now, that is a new one on me. Well, I know that women don't. When you say, Margaret, I just want to ask you, when you say that Yasser Arafat is attractive.
I'm not saying physically, Phil, his looks are very. Obviously very pedestrian, but women don't focus in on the looks. We focus in on the whole man. And I can tell you, Phil, Yasser Arafat is absolutely just... Oh, God, it's quite devastating.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist, about why she's not going to the Middle East to cover that story. She's afraid she may fall in love with a Palestinian man. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is with us, a nationally syndicated columnist. You're talking about women not being able to go to the Middle East to be reporters because it's such a mysterious and sexy place.
Yes.
All right. What about suicide bombing? Is that a principle that you admired? Do you think that's sexy in a man?
Phil, I don't think there's any secret. Obviously not. I'm a mother. But I also know, and you know, and I don't think it's any secret, that there is a point where a man could commit any crime, and to a woman that admires him, it wouldn't matter.
So a man that you love could commit a suicide bombing, and that'd be all right with you.
I'm not saying it would be all right with me. I'm simply saying that Middle Eastern men are very sexy, very interesting men. And yes, sometimes you just want to forget their politics. I'll go you one better. Any woman that tells you that there isn't something interesting about Osama bin Laden is a liar.
Oh, come on.
No, that is absolutely true. Any woman that doesn't say there is something rather fascinating and devastating about Osama bin Laden is simply lying.
Yeah, devastating. The guy killed 3,000 people.
I don't mean that. I mean...
Yeah, I know. You mean as a real man of power. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, do you know what it means when a woman says she's attracted to a bad boy?
Yeah, I know what that means. I didn't know it meant mass murderers. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Here is Stephanie. Go ahead.
Hi, my comment is directly to Miss Gray. I have a problem with understanding how you can think possibly that Barbara Walters and someone like Christiane Amanpour can lose their reporting credibility by spilling the beans to these Arab men. I just don't understand your reasoning.
You know what it is to be attracted to a man where you would go anywhere with him, do anything for
him. It doesn't matter. There is I'm talking about a professional reporter, a professional journalist.
And love.
That is providing the world with news. How can you possibly think that she is going to lose focus? At the end of the day, you
end up doing. You never heard of a woman just becoming besotted with a man and doing anything for him.
I am sorry, absolutely not. If even my son decided to commit a murder, I would turn him in, regardless of how much I love him.
You should cover some of the serial murder trials that I've covered. You should see the
groupies. Are you saying that you're falling in love for these serial killers?
I'm saying you should see the groupies at serial murder trials. Well,
these men. These groupies are absolutely sick.
There is nothing to be fascinated about.
You
know as well as I do that Yasser Arafat is an extremely exciting man.
Listen.
He's very sexual.
I'm sorry.
No, wait a minute. Stephanie, is Yasser Arafat...
She'll lie to you, Phil. She won't tell you the truth.
I will tell you the truth.
No, she'll lie. Don't even ask her. She's lying.
I don't find him sexy. On the contrary, I feel bad.
Why do you think Christiane Amanpour hasn't been home for a year? She is hooked on Arab love. You know it. I know it.
There's a... Arab
hooked
love.
On
Let me
Arab-
tell you something. I am Arabic, okay? I know.
Then you
I know,
know
these
how
men.
Devastating
but it
these
doesn't
men are.
Mean, what I'm saying is don't lose the credibility of these reporters. Don't put everyone in the same batch. These women are very respectable, and you're undermining women in this industry.
I'm not trying
don't
to undermine,
do it.
I know these women. I've worked with a lot of these women. Barbara Walters would spread for the first towel head.
Okay, wait a minute.
That is just very rude. How can you possibly put every single woman... Don't compare Barbara Walters to a groupie in a court that has nothing better to do.
Barbara
These
Walters
women
is
are
a
very
notorious...
respectable, especially in this position.
She's a notorious floozy. I mean, she has... She's put it out there for Al Pacino, Clint Eastwood, Yasser Arafat. Don't try to tell me that you haven't... And you know what the word
that's what I haven't laid in my bed fantasizing. No, I
about
haven't. I'm
Yasser
sorry.
Arafat.
I'm not as sick as you and every other individual
not
that you think is like that. Don't put everyone in the same situation.
I'm
as
not
you.
Putting. I'm simply saying that you know as well as I do, Osama bin Laden's devastating.
Will you knock it off with that?
Mr. Henry.
He's devastating, period. There is no but or and. The guy is a creep. I mean, what do you possibly think? Because he has power?
Yes,
I mean,
he is
a murderer. What does this say about you being a woman? That you need a man that has power in order for you to feel attractive and sexy in bed?
You said that you're Arabic?
Yes.
And you're able to keep your underwear on when your Arab relatives call?
Don't answer that question. That is a really rude question to ask.
No.
Absolutely.
Women in general.
All right, 1-800. Thank you very much, Stephanie. 1-800-449-8686.
Did you hear what she said, that I have no respect for women in general? I'm not the one going over to the Middle East and seeking out Yasser Arafat and following him home in a cab and knocking on his door in a hotel room and going, you didn't call. Why didn't you call?
Who is doing that?
Any one of these sluts that works for CNN.
All right, now wait a minute. You said that Osama bin Laden is devastating. You said that he's attractive.
A woman can't help who she's attracted to. and Middle Eastern men are thrilling. Oh, God, why can't you understand that? Osama bin Laden...
Yeah, let's talk about him.
He's a murderer. He's a butcher. But any American woman that is truthful will tell you that he is devastating. And Yasser Arafat, wow! That guy, let me tell you something. He is, well, I don't even want to go into it. What time is it?
I don't know. It's a little just before, after 6 o'clock.
Okay, it's not, the kids aren't in bed yet. But I can tell you.
Bug off with your freaking Yasser Arafat fantasy, will you? Yasser Arafat's devastating.
Phil, around every burned-out bus, behind every overturned taxi, romance awaits.
Yeah, that's sexy, all right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
I want to tell you...
This guy's he's criticizing me getting seat covers for my wife.
You go to hell, you ugly pig!
Me?
You shut your mouth! I'm not talking to you, you stupid ass! I'm talking to Phil Henry, not to you. You can go to hell. You're not worth anything.
Yes, Sylvia.
Moron.
I'm right here, Sylvia. It's Phil Henry.
I tell that guy to shut his mouth. I'm not talking to him. He's garbage to me.
Go ahead, dear.
Every time I hear his voice, I want to regurgitate.
Go ahead, dear.
I want... What is all that noise? What
they're
doing now?
They're hammering in his office next
hey,
door.
They hammer his head. He's the worst animal I ever heard on radio.
Well, I'm very sorry.
I wish the hell he'd get his head broken. You know, if I was there, I would take it up to the baseball bat.
What? I didn't hear you, Sylvia. Say that again.
I said if I had a kid, I was there, I'd take a baseball bat and knock his head off. He's an ugly pig. Every time I hear his voice on radio, I get sick.
Well, you know, the guy won't let Jimmy Newell, his wife is pregnant. She's going to give birth tonight.
Yeah, and he won't let him go.
No, he won't let him go.
Well, he can do better than tell him to go to hell.
And
that's what I want to talk to him and tell him to go to hell.
David?
He's a coward.
David, are you there?
Oh, you
are a rotten coward.
You haven't seen a Valentine's
You're
Day.
You're a coward. You're an ugly pig.
Just a boy.
You are an ugly pig. Go to hell.
Listen to that, Sylvia. I can't hear anything because of these guys working.
I know, but he's doing it deliberately. He's
hey,
a
David,
dog.
David, why don't you tell these guys to knock the work off, okay?
Phil.
That old bag you're talking to ain't worth my time.
Yes, ma'am.
You can work for an animal like that. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think you're right.
He is an animal. He's not a human being. I wish I was there. You know what I could do to him?
What's that?
I could go right into the city and go and sit down.
Well, that's a pretty violent thing.
What did she
say? Violent, but
that's
how I feel about him. I despise that man.
What did you say, lady?
Shut your mouth, you pig.
Smile
you
when you say that.
Pig.
You better.
I dare you to come down here. I'll break your neck.
Smile when you say that to me.
Oh, go drop dead where you're standing, you ugly pig.
When did Moses give you that Valentine, by the way?
You go to hell, don't you dare. You're an animal. You don't deserve to live with human beings. Get the hell to the ground where you belong,
Get
you ugly animal.
To the ground?
Yes, drop dead. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, drop dead. You could have just said...
Drop dead and get into the ground, you bastard.
Don't you think you want to be lying down?
Go drop dead. You're an ugly animal. You don't deserve to live with human beings.
Hey, Sylvia, can I ask you a question? This is
what?
Phil. I was down...
He's doing that purposely.
What? I'm sorry, honey. Did you hear me?
No.
All right. I was down for... You want me to do it, okay?
Stupid animal.
No, but did you hear what I said to you? I was talking to this guy.
He doesn't want me... I don't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. David, don't tell him to turn it down.
Turn what down?
Turn down the stuff outside. Anyway, Sylvia,
yes.
This guy tells me that if I...
I swear to God, if I ever
David,
met that man, I take my shoes off with the high heels and I put it right into his eyes.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The way our show works is I do the voice of different characters, and then people call in and think it's a real guy, like that lady talking to, it wasn't even a guy, it was Margaret, but that was me doing the voice. And, you know, we do announce it a lot on our show that I do the voice of these different characters. And then occasionally people call and say, I don't think that's a real person. It sounds like the DJ's doing the voice, which I know is from me making the announcement that I do the voice. Ordinarily, people call up and say, sounds like some guy's putting you on. The DJ's doing a voice? That's not what they think of. But by us continually running our mouths about it, more and more people are in on just exactly how this show works. And that's exactly the way we want it because... like I say, got to take some credit sometime. Got to let people know what's going on sometime. Got to tell them, hey, here's how it is. This is what it am. Here's what I ain't. Love me. Okay, hey, one other thing from the news. Halle Berry's had a falling out with Revlon. Apparently she wants more money, and they're not going to pay her more money for her cosmetic ads. You know, it just occurred to me, I heard someone mention this, and I don't want to be... rude. Remember when she gave that acceptance speech at the Academy Awards? Didn't that remind you of a contestant on The Price is Right? And really, I guess that was the whole thing I was trying to say. There's something undignified about it. It's almost like I'm watching Bob Barker giving away a washing machine. Halle Berry, come on down. Ow! She's just ape. So anyway, she wants more bread, and why not? But would she kiss Bob? Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. I used to watch that show like every day, man. The Price is Right. I know that Craig Taylor, my engineer, he still does. How he gets the time, I don't know. I used to watch that all the time. I don't know what it is about that show, but it's just, it's watching the money and guessing how much stuff costs and everybody, I can identify with everybody that's up there. The big fat t-shirt and the big fat sweatshirt and the people from the Midwest and they're all great. So we know now the Academy Awards are essentially just like The Price is Right, except it's a different, you know, they're giving away different stuff. On the one they got an Oscar, on the other it's like a washing machine or a car. But the reaction of the contestants is basically the same. Just look at it this way. You watch the Academy Awards, you can see what your favorite stars would look like were they on The Price is Right. Which they would never do because they're too hip for that. Here's Kenny on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil, did I hear you say you're going to have a TV show on soon?
No.
Hey, Arafat is a good-looking man. I got to agree.
Thanks. Here is Chris on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
We're losing our evening drive guy here in Denver. And
who's
I was sure
what's
hoping...
What's his name?
His name is Reggie Rivers.
Uh-huh.
He actually decided to quit of all the silly things to do. But I was sure hoping that KHOW out here would pick up your show live because... we only get the last hour, and it just sucks.
The last hour sucks.
No. Only getting the last hour.
The last hour generally sucks. I would say that, so they only run 1 hour of the show live, huh?
And then the rest of it's repeat, and, you know, it's just not as entertaining when you know it's not happening at the moment.
I don't know. I don't know how to deal with that stuff. I hear people talk about their affiliates and how they run their shows. I would rather not tell a program director how to... do what they do, because I certainly don't want to make anybody upset with me.
And
as for Mr. Reggie Rivers, you mentioned that to me because why? You would like my show to be moved down into his slot?
Well, because he's leaving there, they have a slot open. And I, as a listener, would love to hear your show in there.
I would like to be live in Denver. I'd like to be live everywhere, but that's not the call that I can make.
Well,
I don't know what to tell you, but I can make the statement right now. Gee, hey, Denver, how about putting me on live? Well, they ain't going to pay any attention to me. They're going to stick in somebody else, you know, Joe Blow, Reggie Rivers II, Reggie Rivers Jr.
Hopefully it's you.
Occasionally
places,
we
right?
do get a break and we get moved down and we go live like in Albany, where we were buried at night. And then the guy that was on 7 to 10 in Albany, suddenly, who apparently was supposedly just the, you know, the real hit there in that town, and he started to just blow just endless primate houses filled with apes, and they finally let him go and moved us down into the 7 o'clock hour. So that happens. I don't know if it'll happen in Denver, but we can make the official announcement right now. Please, in the name of everything holy, move us into a live position in Denver. Thank you. We'd like to be live everywhere. I know it's not possible. I know that some of the content of this program frightens certain people. I don't know what we possibly do that frightens anybody. Maybe it's not pulling the kind of numbers that you want it to in your town. You know where we do, you know where we really do well are in like very populated cities. I mean, like larger cities we do well. Some of the smaller towns, it depends. We've been on for years in the wonderful city of Green Bay. We've been on for years in the wonderful, and I do mean wonderful, cities of Norwalk and Stamford, Connecticut. Great people there. We've been on for years there in Los Angeles and places like Tampa and Miami. But I don't know. It all depends on what the individual programmer in that town wants to do, and far be it for me to tell them. I am but one unit in an ever-changing 24-hour lineup, or I shouldn't say ever-changing, but possibly ever-changing 24-hour lineup, 24-hour program schedule. You move us anywhere you want. But may I make a suggestion? How about moving us to a live position? Freddie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil.
Hi.
You're great. Got a question real quick.
Okay.
This old lady that's calling in all the time, is she real or, you know, what's going on with her?
Yeah, she's real, man. Anything else?
No, well, real quick, she's always saying that she loves your show, she listens to you all the time. How do you get her by?
What old lady are you talking about, Freddie?
You know, the one
that's always... Let us all in on what it is you're talking about, okay? I got a whole bunch of people out there listening right now. So you tell me, which little old lady? The last lady that called?
The one that you did on the flashback right now, the one that's always getting bleeped out.
Yeah?
She's real.
Yeah.
Why is
like I say, every single hour of every single day, the people that call in are real. Except maybe you, Freddie. Yeah. Every single day, the people that call in are real. Is she real? No, I'm doing that voice. No, I'm paying her to call in. Yeah, she's real. See, we explain the program. It's pretty easy to understand. I do the voices of different characters. People call in and think they're real, and they talk to them. That's as simple as it is. That's as extensive as it is. There's nothing more that I need to reveal, because there is nothing more to reveal. If I want to shuck and jive you, and I want to screw with your head a little bit more, then I guess I don't have to tell you where it's at, do I? But I can guarantee you this, it doesn't help the show any. No, I'm telling you exactly what I do. Now, that old lady that calls in, her name's Sylvia. She lives somewhere in the Northeast. She thinks David Hall's a piece of crap, and she thinks I'm fantastic. Why? I don't know. You'll have to call her and ask her. She doesn't know that David's a guy as a voice that I'm doing. She just loves me and hates that guy. She'll take her high heel off and take his eye out with it. We love you, Sylvia. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
So they're having a robot convention. Where do you suppose they're holding it? Come on. Shouldn't take you too long. Robot convention. What's kind? That's right, Japan. Anything out there, anything freaky, anything scary, anything sci-fi, anything fantasy world, anything that's real kooky, you know, quasi-acid, psychotropic, man, it's Japanese. Anything that's just kind of on the edge, about ready to send your neurotransmitters off in this, like Dimension 8, it's got to be Japanese. First Japanese cartoon that I ever saw was when I was a kid, and it was called Astro Boy. And it bugged me. It bugged me. There was something about it that bugged me. It was like tomorrow, man. It was way too far into the future for me. And you're talking to a guy that eventually got very heavily into sort of laying on his back and listening to those long, really bad guitar solos on Iron Butterfly albums. You know, those really bad ones where the guy didn't know how bad he was. It was so bad it was good. Or, but more to the point, Chicago albums. So anyway, by the end of the decade, the people who disarm bombs and search for survivors after a disaster may no longer need to put their lives on the line. A machine possibly made in Japan will do the dangerous stuff. This is one goal of the Japanese government's 37.7 million humanoid robotics project, which aims to market within a few years robots that can operate power shovels, assist construction workers, and care for the elderly. That's the phrase That's the phrase that they got to watch it when they use phrases like care for the elderly. What? Like give them enemas? Give them, you know, if there's, are you having a problem passing stool this morning? Are you having a problem passing stool this morning, Mrs. Brown?
Yes, I am, Roboto.
Roll over. Is it going to have sentient consciousness? Is it going to have sensibility and empathy? Care for the elderly. Because when you care for the elderly means like meals on wheels, taking them for a walk, suggesting a game or a television show.
You know how much you like Nick at Night.
All right, turn it over there.
Okay.
Only the Japanese. And dare I say, change diapers?
We had an accident, didn't we?
I'm sorry.
All right. Jesus H.
Robot's just bent out of shape about it.
Holy geez, had another accident.
Sorry, Roboto, I'm lonely.
Bend over, Phyllis.
Okay, anyway. Just as automobiles were the biggest product of the 20th century, people might eventually look back and say that robots were the big product of the 21st century, said Hiroshiya Hirakawa, a researcher for the government-affiliated National Institute of Advanced Industrial Science and Technology Bullcrap Center. Hirakawa heads a group that helped to develop HRP-2, a silver and blue humanoid robot that stands 5 feet tall, weighs 128 pounds, and bats left-handed. I'm kidding. Doesn't say that. And looks a bit like a child wearing a spacesuit. The robot, co-developed with Kawada Industries, Yaksakawa Electric Corporation, and Shimizu Corporation, is the latest in a series of humanoid robots unveiled by Japanese researchers in the last few years. The government hopes their efforts will eventually enable robots to walk out of the factory, virtually their own domain at present, and into homes, offices, hospitals, and any other place where humans toil. It also wants to capitalize on the technological edge of Japan, the global leader in robot production, and home to more than half of the world's industrial robots. Excuse me while I continue my talk. So let me ask you, is Japan, why do they need robots? What's going on with that? You know, I mean, there's nothing going on in their society where they would require robots any more than we do. But like I say, they always get there. They're always one step ahead. They're not lacking people. Yeah, hey, great idea, Japan. Make some robots and put even a few million more people out of work. You know the country that needs the robots, don't you? China. Got 3 billion people. How many people have got in China? Like over a billion people. Probably approaching a billion and a half now. And they need a few robots over there. So put a few more people sitting on their ass all day long. Okay, we want to create a new market exploiting the technology Japan. I got to tell you something. Of all the things that I've ever heard about being invented, robots, that's, we don't need that. We don't need that. Because you make a robot, you put a guy out of a job. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm walking into the supermarket yesterday. Marie and I got some stuff in the market. And suddenly I'm noticing that they have these new check yourself out. Have you seen them? Oh, yeah. You run the product. Run the barcode across the thing yourself. And it spits out how much you owe, and then you run your card, or I guess you have, this is only for people who use a credit card or a cash card. I mean, already they're beginning to automate all these fine, you know, the checker, you know, you remember the checker? I've been a coughing jag, excuse me. Remember the checkers? These are the people that we would go in, and they were the most reliable people in the world. These are the people that we would see. Every day we went to the supermarket. When I was a kid, they used to take 29 cents, $1.50, 35, whatever they call out the price. Ask you if you want to use your Vons Club card today. Give you the total, tell you to swipe your card. Oh, it's not working. Here, let me help you. Let me swipe it. And then they swipe it for you and it still doesn't work. And then they enter in the code. And they ask if you want paper or plastic, and then they have to bag the groceries themselves because they've done away basically with bag boys and bag girls. Got bag ladies, though. Those ones, those checkers. And the ones that eventually, if you were younger and she was cute, you'd ask her out, eventually marry her, you know. Then divorce her 5 years later and go, I was the president of a bank. Why was I marrying a girl at work checkout at Vaughn's? Well, those guys are getting automated out of a gig. And I'm telling you, I went to the supermarket the other day, like I said, and some of these other places where they have places you can check yourself out. And I was like feeling sorry for them. And I was thinking, are you guys saving that much bread by getting rid of these people? And the answer came to me, yeah. Yes, they are. It's called union. So where do you go when you used to be a checker at a grocery store and you've been automated out of your gig? What job awaits you? Where else will you work? I'm not saying you're without talent. But where do you go after you've been checking groceries? You got it. Bank teller. Okay. That's bad. Airline attendant. I'm kidding around. I don't know. I'm not, you know. You know what you do if you used to be a checkout person, like, you know, checking groceries in a supermarket and you don't do it anymore? You can become a puppeteer. Just do puppets. I don't know what you can do. What are you asking me for? Why did I even bring it up? The Japan Robot Association, an industry body, estimates that the robot industry could grow to $22.61 billion by the year 2010. This figure has hovered around 500 billion yen for the past few years. Well, that helps. What's 500 billion yen, Craig? You just were in Japan. That's $50 million or something? It predicts the expansion will be led by robots that perform everyday tasks and believe that while there are no such robots on the market now, they could be ringing up annual sales of 1.1 trillion yen by 2010. Whatever. Robots will be able to take care of your children. They'll be able to carry furniture about. They'll be able to drive a forklift. They'll be able to, caregive. Play poker. Place a bet for you. What if you brought your robot to the track? Yeah, go ahead. $5. Attaboy, Binky. Fifth race.
Yes, sir.
And here's a little something for yourself.
Thank you, sir.
Go to the $50 window. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our Phil Hendry Show website. PhilHendrie show.com. Get a backstage pass. Only $6.95 a month.